Welcome to First in Felony. This episode is going to be a little different. I will be speaking with my longtime friend, comedian Jeremy Paul, and my producer, Courtney Howerton, about some of my favorite dumb and bizarre crimes of the year. Some of these crimes you may be familiar with, but I thought were worth mentioning again. A majority of this episode was recorded in the back room of a comedy club, so I apologize for the audio quality. That being said, if you don't like sports humor, skip this episode and come back next week. Thanks, and please enjoy First in Felony, a year in review. Do you remember Jamal Anderson, Jeremy Paul?
Of course I remember Jamal Dirty Bird Anderson. Running back for the Atlanta Falcons, created the reemergence of the Dirty Bird Dance in Atlanta while for the Falcons after scoring every touchdown.
Well, Jamal Anderson recently exposed himself at a Quick Trip in Swahini, Georgia. Well, he did it twice.
Because he had to be sure.
Yeah, and he was subsequently banned from the store. The store owner was cool with it, though. They didn't file charges.
Really?
No, no charges filed. He was just banned. But I will say the police chief had what is my favorite quote of the year. He said, this is the quote, "Nothing was out of the ordinary except for him masturbating in the store."
Okay, so let me get this straight. Jamal Anderson, Jamal Dirty Bird Anderson.
Yeah.
Took his dick out at a, what was the name of the store?
A Quick Trip. Not familiar with it.
Twice. And this was nothing out of the ordinary. Football players taking their dicks out.
I would just love to be the arresting officer showing up and just being like, wait, what? And he's like, he didn't take anything, but I have to write this down, and you don't want to press charges. I just have to make a note of it so it makes it to the paper.
He got banned from the store?
Yeah.
What, now, did they have to tell him he was banned, or was that, did he just have to know? It's implied that you're banned, right?
Yeah.
It's just implied. Or do you have to be told? Do you have to be sent a letter like you are officially banned from the Quick Trip?
I would imagine it would go like an NFL suspension where the guy has to come out in a blazer and then make a press conference and then Jamal Anderson appeals.
Is he finally going to appeal?
I wish.
To the Quick Trip?
That would be so good.
I was just celebrating the Doritos.
New flavor
Doritos that I was celebrating. I was doing the Dirty Bird dance. I wasn't masturbating.
Are you familiar with Johan Asiata?
Not offhand, no.
Okay. He was a Bears practice squad player. He made the team for two games in 2010 before stints in the CFL and AFL. Before that, he was at UNLV for 4 years. He was a guard for the Bears, by the way. At one point, they thought he was going to be their starter. Didn't work out that way.
Right.
Happens.
Yeah.
Went undrafted. After his brief stint as a football player, he became a prison guard. And he was recently charged with bringing contraband into a juvenile facility.
Of course.
Allowing roughhousing and horseplay.
Of course.
Striking inmates. And my favorite part of the story, it's listed all those crimes, and it just says in parentheses, among other things.
Oh, sweet mercy.
And the thing that was shocking to me is that he was released on only $5,000 bail.
Really? What state did this take place in?
I believe it took place in Indiana.
That makes sense.
Having to shove a Game Boy up your ass, probably terrible.
What kind of contraband was he bringing in, really?
They didn't specify because it's still under investigation. But him and like four other dudes were running this ring where they were just letting the inmates police themselves. So you can imagine how well that was going.
Not well
with
at all.
With him having just like random, I'm guessing, football Al Bundy style flashbacks yelling.
I'm guessing he probably brought in boxing gloves. Because it's Indiana and you have these fucking wannabe Bernard Hopkins. And everybody's like, I'm going to make the next Bernard Hopkins. And he's going to come out of jail fighting and become world champion. He's going to bring me along with him.
Hoping he was going to make Littlest Giants meets Longest Yard. And just make the worst thing imaginable happen. But then instead of a necessary roughness, it's 15 yards for shanking.
That's what his bill was. That's what he had to pay. $500 to get out.
If you hit kids who weren't wearing orange jumpsuits, your bail would be like $200,000. You would never get to leave.
True. the sad thing is that he failed at everything. Yeah. From top to bottom. Like, he made it to the league. He worked that hard to make it to the league. And he worked harder to make it to the league than he did at making his own life work.
Are you familiar with Jonnu Smith?
Who?
Jonnu Smith, college football player.
I can't remember that name.
Okay. Well, he played this year, among other years.
Okay.
He's a former Florida International University tight end.
Oh, FIU, that's
FIU.
Right.
FIU. His girlfriend, who was pregnant with his child, poured boiling water on him because she was upset about their relationship and felt that he wasn't paying enough attention to her.
That's one way.
This was on Halloween.
The old Al Green treatment, huh?
Yeah. But on top of that, when she felt that he didn't react strong enough, she started striking him with her open hands.
Uh-huh.
It ended his career at FIU, where he was already a leader in a lot of statistical categories. He was slated to be an NFL draft pick, but his injuries are severe enough where it's probably going to move him from like a third-round pick to potentially like a seventh-round to undrafted.
Uh-huh. Before we continue, white girl, black girl?
It appears she was mixed race.
Black girl. Okay, so here's the thing.
I'll look her up right now as we're talking.
This is normal with black athletes and black people. This is what happened to Al Green. Al Green got caught cheating, came home, and his girlfriend was cooking, and he went into the shower to take a shower to wash the stink of other woman off him, and the woman walked into the shower, threw hot grits on his ass. Boiling hot grits on Al Green.
For those of you who are deaf or can't tell, Jeremy Paul is a large black man.
Yeah.
So he's allowed to just do
that. I am a very large black man.
Oh, yeah. He suffered severe burns on his neck, head, back, shoulder, and arm. His girlfriend, Mary Gaspar, that's her name, charged with felony aggravated battery, 5 months pregnant with her child.
Of course. So you can't hit her. Like, you can't even defend yourself. You can't kick her out the way. Like, like, you just gotta take the pot of boiling water. So sad, man.
I swear that could have started as like the best thing ever. Is he sitting there and she starts boiling water? He's like, "Hot damn, someone's gonna make me some food." And he goes back to doing whatever he was doing, probably just spacing out or playing Xbox.
Yeah, he's probably fucking Call of Duty.
Yeah,
like, I'm going to the league, baby. Yep. I'm going to the league.
Yeah.
Alright. What was his scream like? That's what I want to know. What was that scream?
Apparently not well enough because she started smacking him around. Like, which also has to unfortunately be super embarrassing because he's probably like 6'3", 255, and she's probably like 5'1", 120.
Oh, yeah.
And he has to hide in the bathroom like because he can't. He literally can't touch her because
he's pregnant.
Well, not just that, but police have a habit of not believing a large black man in the presence of women. Are you familiar with Terrence Crawford?
Yes.
Boxer.
Yes.
Terrence Bud Crawford, worst nickname for a boxer. I don't know why he chose Bud.
I have an idea.
He was just sentenced to 90 days in jail for disorderly conduct and property damage after taking his 1984 Chevy Monte Carlo from a detailer that he owed $1,350 to.
Uh-huh.
That's half the amount of money. He didn't want to pay it, and the guy didn't want to release the car until, of course, he paid his debt.
Of course.
So instead, him and his boys went down there, took the car off the hydraulic lift, but left the lift in the on position so it melted all the parts, costing $3,000 in damage, and his bond was set at $10,000.
You know, that's the least he could do, was ruin the hydraulic lift. Now, what him and his boys could have done was wreck the shop.
I'm just saying, a 1984 Chevy Monte Carlo
True.
Is a car that is 3 years older than me, and it is worth less than the damage and the bond.
Yeah.
He just fought, like, Saturday night for a large pile of money on HBO. Just pay the money and don't go back.
He wanted this car, man. He wanted this car.
You think he had to bring his dudes because he weighs like 140 pounds?
That too. Like, these cats aren't that... Not that...
Like Mayweather. Mayweather has to stand between 2 7-foot tall guys because he's literally a tiny man.
Yeah, he's 5'5", 5'6".
Yeah.
Yeah, gotta just take the loss sometimes. No, you gotta have. That's why Mike Tyson laughs at his ass, because he's a small guy.
When Terrence Crawford drove away on his booster seat with, you know, with those pedal lifts, I'm just saying.
He was wearing stilt shoes.
Yeah.
On a motorcycle.
1984 Monte Carlo. Like, out of all the cars you could restore.
Yeah, so it was just a restoration job then?
I don't know. They said detail work. He
so
had
he was
retain
trying
it.
To flip the car, and he wanted the car. That's all it is. He's trying to flip a 1984 Chevy Monte Carlo like a goddamn idiot.
You know Bruce Miller, football player, 49ers.
No.
Released this year.
Okay.
Well, he was released following his arrest. His night began when he was first kicked out of a restaurant for trying to take a couple sandwiches.
Oh, give me a goddamn sandwich.
Well, he was drunk.
Of course.
But he wanted the sandwich. Well, he stared at the buffet for 20 minutes before demanding this couple sandwiches. Things got heated between the husband and Bruce Miller.
Uh-huh.
The wife got in between them, told the husband to calm down. He didn't calm down. But eventually, not. Bruce Miller was kicked out because he was the drunk one trying to take a brisket sandwich from a couple just trying to eat. Then he wandered out of the restaurant. He tried to get a hotel or a hotel room, but there was no vacancies, in which he wandered around, threw up, and then knocked on a door, to which an elderly couple answered.
Oh, no.
And then he demanded that he be let in the room. They refused, so he punched the 70-year-old man in the face. The couple's 29-year-old son, who was staying in the adjacent room, came to his father's rescue. He was also punched in the face. And Bruce Miller was arrested and charged with 7 felonies and a misdemeanor, including assault with a deadly weapon. The weapon, in this case, was allegedly a cane that he most likely took from the 70-year-old man and then beat him. It must have been terrifying for this 70-year-old man, because Bruce Miller's a giant redhead Viking who's just barfing,
yeah,
knocking on your door, and then demanding to be let in your room.
And he obviously pushes the old lady out the way, and it punches the old dude.
Bruce Miller's a fullback, by the way, so he's built like kind of a, you know, a spark plug. He has,
yeah,
no neck, just a giant Hulk dude.
Yeah.
He was also alleged to have grabbed his girlfriend's arm and smashed her phone the year before, but the Niners kept him that time because the charges were dropped.
Yeah.
This time, by the way, there's like an 8-minute video of him just wandering around barfing and like bleeding all over the place. But this terrified immigrant called the police, and the police, you know, like 12 policemen showed up. And I'm sure they were bummed when they came and heard that a football player was doing some stupid shit, and they found out that he was white, so they could just blow him away. The sad part is, it would have been a worse punishment to remain a fullback in Chip Kelly's offense. They should have just left the team.
Very true. You know, plus, he'll probably retire in the next year anyway.
Well, no one's going to pick him up. He beat an old man with a cane.
Well, like, that used to not disqualify you.
Todd Marinovich.
Oh, good old Todd.
Robo quarterback. Was arrested after being found naked with methamphetamine, marijuana, and drug paraphernalia in an Irvine resident's backyard. Not his own, of course.
Oh, so his neighbor's backyard. Or somebody else, just a random backyard.
Did not say it was neighbor, just said someone's backyard. Police were responding to calls of a naked man on the Ventura Spur Trail. He was naked, and his drugs were in a just brown paper bag. He was just carrying a brown paper bag filled with drugs.
Filled with drugs. So, let's see if I remember correctly. Todd Marinovich went to USC.
Yes,
am I correct? So he's yet another USC quarterback doing great after NFL.
Yeah, he played 2 years for the Raiders. 2 years for the Raiders.
Matt Leinart at least needs to look at Todd Marinovich very closely, because he's on the same track.
Oh no, I was gonna say we should dress up Todd Marinovich as the Ghost of Christmas Future and have him visit Johnny Manziel.
Oh yeah. Oh, yeah. Him, Todd Marinovich and Ryan Leaf need to go visit Johnny Manziel right now.
Yeah.
Because this is not gonna turn out well for either one of those three. You're doing meth?
By the way, he's only 47.
Yeah.
And he looks like he's 75.
Of course. He's doing crystal. He's riding the snake. What the fuck is wrong with you, man?
There was just a 30 for 30 about this guy.
Yeah.
And like,
what is he supposed to be trying to get help or some shit like that? Like, his dad was like, he was a great quarterback. Mm. Didn't his dad pump him full of HGH, too?
I'm sure.
Like, oh, man, y'all ruined these kids' lives, man.
I would spend hours if I was the policeman just asking background questions. Like, one, where'd your clothes go? Two, how did you procure only a paper bag? So, and it's like, you...
Yeah, he's naked.
Got everything, but you managed to bring your paper bag filled with drugs.
Yeah.
Of course.
Big swinging.
Yeah.
With a bag full of drugs.
So good. All right.
I wonder what kind of weed he was carrying.
Ryan Lochte.
Oh, this fucking guy.
Fabricated story about being robbed in Rio Olympics. Yeah. He was ordered to pay $11,000 to a Brazilian charity.
Uh-huh.
He's 32 years old, and he claimed he suffered from immature behavior.
No, he suffered from not paying for his blowjobs. Like, dude, you had a brothel, man. Just pay the ladies. Just pay the ladies. You're an Olympian. You already know them. Don't fucking pay your hookers and then leave the fucking country. Don't stage a robbery like a goddamn idiot. He was a fucking idiot, man.
He got suspended 10 months.
Uh-huh.
But he got a bunch of crappy endorsement deals from Debt.com and some cough drops. Here's what I don't understand. I'm not in the world of professional swimming, not being an upper-class white kid.
Uh-huh.
He had to pay $11,000. Where did he get $11,000 from swimming?
Well, you know, sponsorships from in the past. He was a heavily sponsored kid because he was on the 4x1 with Michael Phelps.
Yeah, but even if you sold a crap load of Speedos, what'd you get, like a quarter of Speedo? I mean,
something like that.
At a certain point, I would explain to everyone, like, we do this once every 4 years, and I only get money if I win.
Well, it's like the strongman competitions. Like, you know, they do fucking weightlifting, and they pick up bowling balls and shit. I don't know what the fuck they do. I don't watch that shit on ESPN. But they do this shit, but when they're not eating massive amounts of food and lifting tires, they're personal trainers. He's probably doing personal trainer shit. He probably saved $11,000 over the last 4 years. That could happen. But so he paid out the four.
I just imagine him
living in the bottom basement,
having to go to another country to teach immigrants to swim to wherever they got to escape to.
Oh yeah.
To make that money back, because seriously,
$11,000.
Yeah, because if you can do a sport where you make money once every like 2 to 4 years, yeah, he probably got some rich parents. And he looks like a douchebag, so that means rich parents.
Doing oil of Olay commercials.
So, Dancing with the Stars. He got Dancing with the Stars.
He did.
For being a liar, yeah. Are you familiar with Alabama linebacker Tim Williams?
I've heard the name. I'm not familiar.
Okay, well, he was arrested for firearms possession without a permit.
Okay.
On campus.
Oh.
But was able to avoid a drug charge by blaming his... Well, the police asked him if the marijuana in the car was his. He smartly said no.
Of course.
He was holding it for a friend. His friend, Brandon Chicken.
Fucking no. That can't be his name.
No, that's what he said. And then the poor officer had to write down Brandon Chicken. I'm guessing it was like a bad sitcom moment where he just looked around at whatever was in the room and then he just saw like
Brandon.
I would have given him less shit if he said my friend's name was George Spent Condom. Like,
his name is Joseph Speeding Ticket.
Fucking idiot. And when the police said that, you know, you gotta have a permit to conceal carry, he of course produced a receipt for the gun that he bought in another state, believing that was a permit.
Oh.
And then they informed him that that wasn't a permit, that you needed a real permit. He was arrested and released on $500 bail and suspended for the first half of their first game. Our last story. Well, now former mayor, but at the time, mayor of Sacramento and former NBA player Kevin Johnson.
Oh, yes.
Got hit in the face with a coconut cream pie by a dude named Sean Thompson for being a terrible mayor, among other things.
Uh-huh.
Sean Thompson has an interview where he explains that promises were made by Kevin Johnson, were not met, of course, and that Kevin Johnson owns a bunch of properties in a neighborhood in Sacramento.
He has numerous code violations for all of his properties. Dangerous. Got a lot of animals living there. And, you know, just like basically being a slumlord. Among other terrible things that he did. Mm-hmm. Here's a list of his terrible behavior. That was before he was elected mayor 2 times.
Yes.
2 times.
Yes.
Okay. He was alleged to have assaulted 2 girls.
Oh, yes.
On separate occasions. Two separate occasions. His charity, St. Hope, misused funds over $800,000 worth. He paid a little bit of that back, of course. His, again, code violations of his property. He tried to bankrupt his political rivals. He also sued the Sacramento Bee for attempting to get public records. And this is the best part, is that after Sean Thompson pied him in the face, he beat Sean Thompson, who was then the only one arrested, of course.
Of course.
And then his people ordered everyone to delete the video and the photos from their cell phones, which is, of course, destruction of evidence.
Yes.
And that poor guy, Sean Thompson, is now going to trial and faces, like, a pretty big fine for assaulting a public official, which I think is also a felony. And meanwhile, Kevin Johnson beat this man and got away with it.
Yes.
And then got to be celebrated at the Sacramento Kings game on his last night as mayor.
Yep. I watched that, by the way, because they were lauding him because he kept the Sacramento Kings, a team that is not going to make it to the playoffs for at least the next 3 years, in Sacramento. He used his NBA connects to keep a team that wasn't going to leave anyway in Sacramento.
He took the taxpayer money, got them that new stadium, left his own buildings that could have been fixed with said money in shambles, and got celebrated. I admire the guy for hitting him with a coconut cream pie, by the way.
Yeah.
Good Looney Tunes style attack into it.
Was it a tin bottom is what I want to know.
I do not know. I wish the guy would have gone like pecan and just said, fuck it. just hit him in the face, because fuck that guy.
Yeah.
Fuck you when you're stealing taxpayer money and charity money and assaulting people and then sexually assaulting other people.
Yeah.
And then getting to be elected on top of that.
Well, you know.
Oh, man. And then also,
right
after he beat this pie guy up, he got his photo taken with Trump.
Here's the thing. Marion Barry got elected how many times after smoking crack on camera?
I know.
So, if you have a black mayor, you got to keep that dude in power. So that, you know, he can have no power. You know, Kevin Johnson might have been a good dude had he not started sexually assaulting people, allegedly. And, you know, beating people up, allegedly. And being a slumlord, allegedly. And stealing money hand over fist, allegedly.
I'm just saying.
I said allegedly so you can't sue me.
Yeah, this is all alleged. We all know.
It's not slander.
He also took over the meeting of Black Mayor's Convention. Just to promote his brand. Deadspin has a wonderful article about the crimes of Kevin Johnson. We'll do a future episode on him later because he is like CTE level insane.
When you're a bad person, you don't last long in certain leagues.
What is your favorite sports crime of all time?
My favorite sports crime of all time? I would have to go with there was Alonzo Spellman going nuts. I don't know if you know who Alonzo Spellman is.
I'm familiar, but tell our listeners who.
Alonzo Spellman was a defensive end for the Chicago Bears. He wore number 90. He had 3% body fat. He was a monster of a football player, but he was also completely insane. And one day after he had retired, he got caught in a neighborhood running around with his shirt off in December in Chicago. Now, I don't know if you know about Chicago in December. It's like 2 degrees outside. Might be -5, but he was running around with his shirt off, screaming at the top of his lungs, and the police had to take him down. They didn't shoot him, but they got him pretty good. So that's one of my favorite crimes. Probably the favorite crime of all time, because I was a huge Alonzo Spellman fan, and I didn't know how crazy this motherfucker was.
I'll give you guys an update when I'm posting this podcast, because I'd like to know about his crimes. They sound bananas.
Yeah.
I have to go with Plaxico Burress.
Ah, yes.
Plaxico Burress, for those of you who don't know, was a pretty good wide receiver in the NFL. Above average.
Uh-huh.
He played for the Steelers. Then he went to the New York Giants.
Uh-huh.
Won a Super Bowl.
Uh-huh.
Was a hero.
Uh-huh.
Then he went clubbing in New York with $40,000 worth of jewelry or so.
Of course.
But, you know, he didn't want to get robbed or hire a bodyguard, so he put a gun in his waistband.
Uh-huh.
Too cheap to buy a holster.
Uh-huh.
Shot himself in the leg.
Of course.
When police questioned him, he said he got shot at Applebee's. Which is insane. Then the New York mayor, mad at him for bringing a gun into New York City, threw the book at him, and he actually had to go to real prison.
Uh-huh.
Ending the prime of his career.
Yes.
And then he came back for one or two really horrible seasons with the Jets,
yep,
and ended his career pretty shamefully. And everyone laughs at him all the time, and they call it pulling a Plexico when you do something stupid.
And put your career at risk.
Yeah.
Here's what made it stupid. He went to a nightclub wearing sweatpants. He had the gun tucked in his waistband of his sweatpants.
Here's the deal, is if you're going to do that move where you dress like a hobo so everyone knows that you're important, that you got in, so sweatpants waistband for a handgun, though.
Yeah.
Try putting anything in the sweatband, like it is the weight of a handgun.
Uh-huh.
And I'm guessing because he's a dummy, it was like a big handgun, like a Glock or something.
Very likely.
Something with a lot of rounds in it. And he
something he went, what?
Can you just imagine?
You know that's the sound he made just before the gun went off. What?
I picture him carrying two drinks. And it's falling, but him not wanting to put down the drinks and trying to pin it to his leg.
Uh-huh.
With two bottles of Cristal or something.
He's double-fisting bottles of Alizé. Yeah. Like, what?
I'm gonna do a whole thing on him later. That's my favorite.
That's not bad. That's not
I
bad.
Love him so much. It's insanity.
Fucking
he had
idiot.
To go to Rikers Island, which is a real prison.
Yeah,
for
yeah.
bad people.
Yeah,
he was so dumb he couldn't get community service to talk about not bringing a gun places in New York City.
Cause he's his lawyer was bad.
Well, yeah, that too. I think
he had Mike Tyson level bad attorney.
Maybe he acted as his own attorney. Ooh, that would be so sweet.
Yeah.
This giant man blaming Applebee's for all his problems.
Fucking Applebee's. Really? That's your go-to? Like, you know,
I know. You couldn't even pick a plausible place. You said Applebee's, bro.
Applebee's.
Which, by the way, other people inexplicably go there.
You could just say TGI Fridays. Why not TGI Fridays? TGI Fridays has some thugs sitting in the parking lot.
Yeah.
Applebee's don't have any thugs there. Who getting shot? I've never heard of anybody getting shot at an Applebee's. Like, I've heard people getting shot at an IHOP.
IHOP. Denny's. Somewhere. Yeah. Come on, somewhere.
Applebee's? That's wholesome.
For our last story, I'll be talking with my producer, Courtney Howerton. She also designs all the graphics and images for the show. On January 21st this year, Adrian Broner lost several thousand dollars betting on high-stakes bowling. After the other guy called it quits, Broner knocked him unconscious in the parking lot and took back his money. Broner faced robbery and assault charges. The judge said he would have likely dismissed the charges against Broner, but Broner missed his scheduled court date. Broner blamed his tardiness on someone lacing his drink. The judge found him in contempt of court and sentenced Broner to 30 days in jail.
Yeah, because he's a turd.
I'm just saying, for someone to be a big enough turd that Mayweather ditched them as their promoter, you gotta be pretty bad.
I don't think that he should gamble with money he's not willing to lose. It's totally ridiculous. Why is he gambling high-stakes bowling?
Adrian,
the whole story is ridiculous.
It was in Cincinnati about maybe 3 months before his big fight. His comeback fight. He already has served 10 days in jail during a separate time. I think it was reckless driving. Maybe it was drunk driving, but I think it was reckless driving.
Yeah, but who plays high stakes bowling anyway? Who does that?
When I did research for this story, he had posted a note that said that he won $1,000 on a bowling trick shot that he made one time, and that he loves to bowl, and he's a regular at the place that he robbed this guy at, and there's a video of him making a bowling trick shot. I don't know how you go 12 grand in the hole or whatever, on bowling, but he did.
It's like some kind of crazy, weird boxing Big Lebowski where he goes in on 12 grand on some kind of bowling scheme. He's like Jesus or Jesus or whatever from the Big Lebowski.
Broner's nickname, for those of you who don't know, is The Problem, a nickname he earned from his parents. He credits boxing with saving his life and or saving him from a life on the streets. And the day after he got popped, basically, for showing up late to court, he said that this was going to be the moment he changed his life and his lifestyle and whoever's around him.
And now he has tits.
He was very overweight for his last two fights, but he has another title shot in the future, and he changed his name from The Problem to AB About Billions.
Turd.
But seriously, what's wrong with these people, man? What is wrong with these fucking jackasses?
Jeremy, where can people find you?
People can find me on the internet. They can buy one of my two albums that are out currently. The Akaba Presents, I Have No Credits, and The Akaba Presents, Megalomaniac, is out online, iTunes, Amazon, blah, 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 everywhere online. Or you can just, you know, look me up. I'm somewhere. Twitter is Jeremy Paul Says. You likely find me at a strip club. Very likely.
Alongside Plexico Burress.
Alongside Plexico Burress.
Pac-Man Jones, and who was a close second to my favorite.
And Andrew Bynum.
Miss me some Andrew Bynum.
Thank you for listening to First and Felony. If you like what we do, please rate and review us on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play Music, or through my website, ffpod.net. It really helps us out a lot. You can find our Facebook page and join the conversation there. You can follow us on Twitter to get all the latest breaking news and episode updates. You can also find us on SoundCloud. If you have any crimes you'd like us to cover, please contact the show at firstandfelony@gmail.com. We appreciate it. This show was written and hosted by Russell Corona, mixed and edited by Russell Corona, produced by Courtney Howerton and Russell Corona, with sound and music provided by Dominic Tiberio. You can find his music on SoundCloud, and I suggest you do. Thank you for listening to First and Felony. We'll be back next week with a new episode.